To be speaking on faith, and I guess in an indirect way, I guess I am. I am going to be looking at a man of faith that served God and gave everything he had for God. And you talk about a man that was living by faith, that was trusting and confiding in God's great love. D.L. Moody was an example of that in the life that he lived. I want to begin by looking at some scripture. Turn in your Bibles with me to John 14. I'm going to be reading verses 12 to 29. And as I was thinking about how to open and what to share, I came across this passage of scripture as one of D.L. Moody's, a passage that D.L. Moody would go back to time and time again. And he himself testified that said that this was a passage of scripture that probably of all the scriptures, this is the one that he had read the most often, and he would go back to it again and again for encouragement and for blessing. So John 14, verses 12 to 29. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. And one of the things that D.L. Moody said about this passage that really captured his heart is the expressions that are in here about the love of the Father for his disciples. And I'd like to just stop and think about that for a moment. In our lives, as we think about God and the reality of God's love for us, how real is God's love to you this morning? As you think about God and how he works and moves and the promises that he gives us, how real is that in your life this morning, that the great, the all-powerful Creator, the God that breathed out the universe, the God that breathed life into us, and the God that is sending his Spirit, after he is gone, he sent his Spirit to abide with us. And as Moody said, he's not coming to abide with us for a night, but he's coming to abide with us. Jesus said that's forever. Coming to abide with us forever. And I believe as we think about these verses and the love of God, John 17:23, the last part of that verse talks about God's love as well for us. And it says that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That the world would know that God the Father loves his children the same way that he loves the Son. That's an incredible love when you think about that, that God has for you and I. And as we look at God's promises that he has placed in Scripture, that should build a faith and a confidence in us that we can trust his promises. And as we go and as we serve God and as we talk about living by faith, as some of these great men of God have done, that we too can trust in the promises of God because of his infinite love for us. It's unmeasurable. And as I was preparing, I just meditated on those verses for a while, that God, the Father, loves me, and how incredible his love is, and how big and how vast it is. But we've been deceived by the enemy into wrong perspectives of God. We've come to view God as a withholder of all that is good, when really, the response that should come out of our lives is a love for God, an incredible love for God. D.L. Moody said, I have an old mother down way down in the Connecticut mountains, and I have been in the habit of going to see her every year for 20 years. Suppose I go there and say, Mother, you were very kind to me when I was young. You were good to me. When Father died, you worked hard for us all to keep us together. So I have come back to see you because it is my duty. Then she would say to me, Well, son, if you only come to see me because it is your duty, you need not come again. And that is the way with a great many servants of God. They work for him because it is their duty, not for love. Let us abolish this word duty and feel that it is only a privilege to work for God. Let us remember that what is done merely from a sense of duty is not acceptable to God. That comes from an excerpt from one of Moody's sermons. God wants us to be motivated by a love for him, not out of a sense of obligation, out of have to, I've got to go to church again, I've got to teach Sunday school, I've got to do this, but that our service for God will come out of a heart of love. God doesn't want our duty. He doesn't want that. God wants our love. And as we observe D.L. Moody's life, I believe we can see a passionate heart of love for God in response to the realization of God's love for him and all that he had done for him. As we look at D.L. Moody's legacy and what he did, and there's probably more things that could be mentioned, but as we observe his life, we see him traveling over 1,000,000 miles in ministry. And back then, that's quite an accomplishment. There were no airplanes to jump on and fly to another country. There was a lot of miles, hard miles to be traveled by boat, by ship. He did have an experience of a ship nearly going down while he was on it. But in preaching to over 100 million people, I had thought that was 10 million, but in doing a little more reading and research, it was 100 million people that they estimate that D.L. Moody preached to in his lifetime. It touched a lot of lives. He founded a church, Moody Church in Chicago, came out of his Sunday school ministry. He founded a school for boys and girls, a school for girls and then a school for boys in his hometown in Massachusetts, two separate schools. He founded Moody Bible Institute that we're familiar with in Chicago. He was the founder of that. He also started an organization to print books that is now known as Moody Press. It wasn't called Moody Press to begin with, but the name changed in the 1900s to Moody Press. But he accomplished a lot for God within his lifetime. And my goal this morning is not to lift D.L. Moody up. D.L. Moody was an ordinary man. I believe that D.L. Moody was a normal human being just like you and I, and he had his struggles. He had his fears. He had his limitations. But D.L. Moody was committed to being all that God intended for him to be. We're going to look at that as we observe some things in his life. But some of my goals for this morning in looking at his life is to see what God can accomplish through an ordinary man that is empowered by his Spirit. To see what God can accomplish, and I believe this is what I want us to hear, this is what I want us to hear this morning, is that it's God that's working through D.L. Moody. It's not that D.L. Moody was anybody special. He was a normal human being like you and I. But he was used in a powerful way. God accomplished a lot through his life. And then I'd also like to look at some of the characteristics of his life and what was it about D.L. Moody? What did D.L. Moody do? What were some of his attitudes? What were some of his characteristics that allowed God, that enabled God to use him in such a powerful way? As we look at his life, just a little bit of his life leading up to, very quickly. Born on February 5th, 1837 in Northfield, Massachusetts. He was born as the sixth child in a family of nine children. His father died when he was 4 years old, died very suddenly. His father was an alcoholic and died very suddenly and left the family with debt. And at that point, there was seven children. And a month after his dad passed away, twins were born into the family. So it was a family of nine children that his mother was left to raise. And like I said, there was a lot of debt. And soon after his father died, the creditors came and basically cleaned out the house of almost everything, except for even the kindling that they had for a fire. Matter of fact, their mother had told them that morning to stay in bed longer so they could stay warm before they had to head off to school because there was no firewood to burn. That's how desperate the straits were that he was born into. But very thankfully, he had an uncle that cared very much about him, and he says he remembers one thing that sticks in his mind is the picture of his uncle coming in that morning carrying an armful of firewood. And his uncle came and lit the fire for them so that they could get up and get ready because the house was cold and they had no way of making a fire. And he remembers that. He remembers his uncle bringing a wagon load of wood to heat the house with because they had nothing. So Mrs. Moody's brother, his mother, D.L. Moody's mother, his uncle, D.L. Moody's uncle and a local minister, Reverend Mr. Everett, took the family under their wings and provided for them, both materially and spiritually. Reverend Everett took them and, put them in his Sunday school, enrolled them in his Sunday school, baptized them. And I believe this was notable that he commissioned these children to go out into the community and bring in more children for Sunday school. And I believe this stuck with D.L. Moody throughout his life and led to some of his other activities later on. And even though they were very poor, Mrs. Moody, D.L. Moody's mother, kept the family together, even though people advised her strongly to parcel out the children so that she could raise some of them more effectively herself and they would have a better home to grow up in. But she refused. She kept the family together and spent much time, I believe, in praying for her children. And D.L. Moody talks about waking up and hearing his mother praying for them. But she spent much time in teaching her children about God. And some of the things that he learned from his mother in those early years were to have a heart for the poor. And some of that came out of D.L. Moody being poor himself. But even in their hard times, Mrs. Moody had a tender heart toward people in need. And the children learned early the privilege of giving to the poor, even from their meager resources. And the hungry were never turned away from her door. On one occasion, when the provision for the evening meal was very meager, it was put to a vote of the children whether they should give their small supply to a poor beggar who had appealed for aid. The children begged that he should be aided and offered to have their own slices cut a little thinner so that they could give to this beggar. This was the teaching and training that Moody was receiving from his mother as he was growing up. So he had a heart for the poor. He was also learning to trust God to provide and care for them. D.L. Moody said that his mother's creed was, "My trust is in God." And every morning, his mother would take her children, have them stand, and she would read to them from the Scriptures, taught them the importance of the Scriptures. And it led to them learning to trust God even at a young age. One time, D.L. Moody and his brother were headed away to a farm 4 miles away to work, and they would live there for like a week at a time and then come back home and go to church with the family and then go back to the farm again. But as they were on their way there the one evening, it was getting kind of dark and they got to a river and needed to cross, and there was a ferryman on the other side, and they called to him and light came on and he started making his way across, and it took him a while because the river was high and the current was pretty strong. So the ferryman got there and they climbed aboard, and after they had left the shore, they realized that the ferryman was completely drunk. And this river was rapidly carrying them downstream, and they were very concerned for their lives. But D.L. Moody took his older brother's hand, his 12-year-old brother's hand, he was 8 at the time, took his 12-year-old brother's hand and tried to encourage him by assuring him that God would care for them and guard them even in their desperate peril. So he was learning at a young age to look to God in times and situations that were tough. The other thing he learned was the importance of church attendance and other spiritual matters, that church attendance was not optional for D.L. Moody's mother. The children all went to church. They went every Sunday. And he said the law of church attendance was as real as the laws of nature. And for the children in these days going to that church, that meant, that required them sitting through 2 sermons with Sunday school sandwiched in between. I don't know how your children would feel about that, but D.L. Moody was raised that it was not optional to go to church. You went, and you learned to the importance of going. And D.L. Moody says that he thought he would, and as he got older and got away from home, he thought he wouldn't want to go to church anymore. But his mother had so ingrained into him the habit of going that he couldn't stop, even though there were times that he didn't feel like going. He says, and more than once, he said to himself later on, he said, "Mother, I thank you for making me go to the house of God when I didn't want to go." So children, it may be tough to sit and listen, and sometimes it seems boring and it seems pointless, but it's important to learn the importance of going to church and listening for God to speak to you, the importance of spiritual input. Well, D.L. Moody lived on the farm till he was 17. When he reached 17, he got restless and wanted to head for the city. So he packed his bags and headed down the road with hardly any more money in his pocket than what he needed to make it to Boston. And so he got to Boston without a plan of what he was going to do, what he was going to work, where he was going to stay. He had nothing. And he spent a very lonely week in Boston. He said he felt that nobody cared for him. And finally, one of his uncles that lived in Boston took him aside and explained some things to him and said, "Listen, if you're willing to listen, to take orders, you're willing to take advice, and you're willing to behave and attend church every Sunday like your mother wants you to, I will give you a job." And so Moody quickly agreed to those provisions and those stipulations and got a job selling shoes for his uncle. And he was very, very good at that. He did very well and was very successful. But it was because of his promise to his uncle that he came into a Sunday school class for the young men taught by Mr. Edward Kimball. And Edward Kimball had a real heart for the young men in his class and was very concerned that they come to know the Lord personally. And so one day, Mr. Kimball decided he was going to go talk with D.L. Moody. And as he walked down to the shoe store where Dwight worked, as he got close, he began to wonder whether this was actually the right thing for him to do. And he began to be afraid that the people that Dwight worked with would make fun of Dwight if they found out that his Sunday school teacher was there talking to him about God. And so he walked on past the shoe store and didn't go in. But his conscience convicted him, and he turned around and went back in. And Mr. Kimball says he doesn't remember what he said to Dwight. He said it was a pretty weak plea for Dwight to come to Christ. But D.L. Moody was listening, and he was ready, and he gave his heart to the Lord there in that shoe store, in the back of that shoe store, while he was working. Because of Mr. Edward Kimball's faithfulness in teaching his class and his concern for his class, that they come to know God personally, that they have a personal relationship. And I think that should be an encouragement and a challenge to us as Sunday school teachers to be faithful in what we're doing. We never know the lives that God is going to touch through us as we continue to be faithful in teaching Sunday school class. Well, after a couple years, D.L. Moody got restless again and felt that he wasn't going to be able to fulfill his dreams there in Boston, and so he headed to Chicago. And there in Chicago, he joined up with Plymouth Church. And as he got involved in church life and his new life with Christ, he wanted to do something to minister to others. And so he began going out onto the street corners and inviting the young men in off the street corners and bringing them into the church building. And he would go into their boarding houses and pursue them there, bring them to church. He would even go into the saloons, bring them out of the saloons, bring them to church. And he ended up needing to rent 4 pews in his church. People rented pews at that time. That's how the church work was financed. But he ended up renting 4 pews that he filled with these young people that he brought in off the street. God was already, even at his young age, in his late teens, early 20s, God was already using him to touch lives. And D.L. Moody had a desire for God to use him in ministry. But as a young man, he was not very confident in his talents. His powers of speaking that he had later on in life, he came by them only gradually. It's interesting to note that the first time he rose to speak in a prayer meeting, one of the deacons assured him that he would, in the deacon's opinion, serve God best by keeping still. Such a kind, thoughtful deacon that he had. Another critic who commended his zeal in filling the pews he had hired in the Plymouth congregation suggested that he should realize the limitations of his vocation and not attempt to speak in public. "You make too many mistakes in grammar," he complained. "I know my mistakes," Dwight replied, "and I lack a great many things, but I'm doing the best I can with what I got." He paused and looked at the man searchingly, adding in his own irresistible manner, "Look here, friend. You've got grammar enough. What are you doing for the master?" And so he put it right back to him. What was this man doing for God with his abilities and his training? But D.L. Moody's mother's teachings carried over into his life as he served in the church and as he brought in these men. D.L. Mother had trained him well in a reverence and respect for Sunday. His mother believed that even with all of her 9 children, she believed, and from what I understand, it was 7 boys and 2 girls. And from what I understand, they were very energetic boys. And they weren't necessarily welcomed in other people's homes because of their energy and their enthusiasm with which they carried out in their lively activities. And so, but Mrs. Moody taught them a reverence for the Lord's Day, which began at sundown Saturday night and lasted till sundown Sunday night. And D.L. Moody says that as boys, they went out when sundown Sunday night and threw their hats in the air and could get back to their normal rowdy activities. They were glad that they could resume normal activities when Sunday was done. But his mom would read to them out of the Bible and read stories to them and other activities during Sunday afternoon to keep them occupied. But he had learned that Sunday was a special day. And so as he lived there by himself in Chicago with no family, he himself realized he wanted to keep the Lord's Day separate. And he did not want to spend Sunday in the frivolous activities that the other young men, his other associations would. And so he applied to teach Sunday school at a Sunday school organization there. And they rejected his application because they didn't need any more than the 12 teachers they already had to teach the 16 children that were coming. So they said, if you can go out and you can bring your own students in, you can have a class. So the next Sunday, D.L. Moody appears with 8 of his own students to have his own class. And I'm not sure whether he actually ended up teaching or not, but he did go out and he continued his recruiting efforts until that building had reached its capacity and there was no more room for any more children to come into that Sunday school. So he left there. He learned a lot about Sunday school from being involved there. He left there and started his own Sunday school, which in the first year he had 650 children coming to it and 60 teachers from other churches involved. And it reached numbers of up to 1,500 children coming to his Sunday school, all from... He worked a lot in the slums. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But very undisciplined. He ended up giving one rowdy boy a thrashing in the coat room while they were other children were singing so that they wouldn't hear what was going on. But there was they had some interesting times. But his success with Sunday school is what led to his evangelistic work. I'm going to leave that story go, but he was asked to speak at a national Sunday school convention, and through that led to started his revival meetings before other Sunday school conventions that were held in the nation. But I'd like to look at some of the things. Oh, I'm forgetting about all of my PowerPoint here. The character qualities that were part of D.L. Moody's life that allowed God to use him in the way that he had. And one of the things that really stands out to me is the fact of his total surrender to God in everything that he had. His job, and I talked about his goals that he had as he came to Chicago. And one of his goals as a young man was to make $100,000, which doesn't sound like a lot to us, but for a lifetime goal, but for him it was. And by the time he was 23, he had saved $7,000 toward that goal. And someone said on a website that $7,000 today would be like having $700,000 in the bank account. So we could say maybe that his goal was $10 million. And by the age of 23, he had nearly $750,000 saved and was well on his way toward his goal. He had a very good paying job, was doing very well with commissions beyond his regular salary. And God was calling him during this time to leave his successful job as a shoe salesman behind and devote his life completely to his work with the Sunday school and with the other things that he was doing. And God was speaking to him and he was struggling with this. What should he do? And he finally came to the point where he was willing to lay his career aside, lay his dreams aside, and follow what God was calling to him to in full-time ministry work. And he himself has said that giving up business was one of the hardest things that he had ever done in his life. He enjoyed his work. He enjoyed his job as a shoe salesman, meeting people and selling his shoes. But he gave that all up for ministry. And he also gave up his home. And as he responded to God's call for ministry, he decided he's going to go. He's going to leave his job behind and he's going to live as long as he possibly can on his savings, what he had saved up. And when that ran out, he would decide from there what he was going to do. But he believed his dependency was on God. And so in order to make his savings last longer, he left his comfortable apartment he had rented. He went out and he ended up sleeping on the floor in the prayer room in the local YMCA. He had turned his back even on the comforts of his own home and was sleeping on the floor. But he committed himself to continue in full-time ministry by living on his savings. And he believed that if he had chosen the right course, that God would reward his labor and provide for his needs. And that was the way he decided to live. You talk about living by faith. We were singing Living by Faith this morning. D.L. Moody was putting that into real shoe leather. As he left his successful career and left his dreams of saving up hundreds of thousands of dollars, or $100,000 in his day, and following God's call in his life. But this willingness to give up what should have been his and the easy life that could have been his continued as he grew older. He had a hymn book published, I believe it was by him and by Ira Sankey who led the singing for his crusades. But they put a hymn book together, and from what I understand, D.L. Moody could have had over $1 million in royalties coming from that hymn book, but he wouldn't take a dollar of it. He asked one of his friends to set up a committee of trustees that would take the money that came in from the sale of these books and use it in areas of need in other ministries. It went to rebuild his home church that was burned by the Chicago fire. It went to, I believe, to the Bible Institutes, to his schools and other organizations it was distributed to. None of it went to him when he very easily could have taken it for himself. But he did not want anything to hinder his ministry of preaching the gospel, and there were unjust accusations that he was getting rich through his popularity in publishing these hymn books. But the truth is, he never got a dollar. He never took a dollar of the royalties that he should have had, could have had, if he would have wanted to. But he gave up his job. He gave up his home, at least temporarily. But more importantly, I believe, he gave up himself. And it was near the beginning of his ministry that someone spoke these words, and I'm not sure if they were spoken to D.L. Moody specifically, but he heard someone say these words, that the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. D.L. Moody thought, he said a man. He did not say a great man or a learned man or a rich man or a wise man or an eloquent man or a smart man, but simply a man. I'm a man, and it lies within the man himself whether he will or will not make that entire and full consecration. I will try my utmost to be that man. He gave himself everything he had. He was putting all of his energy, all of who he was, on the line for God. He wanted God to use him and to work through him in a powerful way. He gave of himself. He was fully surrendered to God in every way. He was also a man who was very humble. He began his ministry in the slums, reaching out to the poor. One of D.L. Moody's friends says the first time that he met him, he began in the slums, reaching out to the poor. His Sunday school began in an area of Chicago called the Sands, also known as Little Hell, because of the lives that were lived there and the wickedness, the things that went on. And this friend of D.L. Moody's gave this testimony of his first meeting or seeing D.L. Moody. It says, the first meeting I ever saw him was at a little old shanty that had been abandoned by a saloon keeper. Mr. Moody had got the place to hold meetings in at night. I went there a little late. The first thing I saw was a man standing up with a few tallow candles around him, holding a little African-American boy and trying to read to him the story of the prodigal son. And a great many words he could not read out and had to skip. D.L. Moody couldn't pronounce them, so D.L. Moody had to skip them. And this man thought, if the Lord can ever use such an instrument as that for His honor and glory, it will astonish me. When the meeting was over, Mr. Moody said to me, I've got only one talent. I have no education, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to do something for Him. This man says, I watched him ever since and have come to know him thoroughly. And for consistent walk and conversation, I have never met a man equal to him. As a result of his tireless labor, within a year, the average attendance at his Sunday school was 650, with 60 volunteers from various churches serving as teachers. His Sunday school became so well known that the president-elect, President Lincoln, visited and spoke at his Sunday school meeting on November 25th. If the Lord can ever use such an instrument as that for His honor and glory, it will astonish me. And did God ever use him? But he started in a humble way. He was faithful in that which was least, and God gave him much. But he put himself, even as he became well known and became a prominent speaker and was speaking internationally at big crusades, he would put others in the foreground and himself in the background. One of D.L. Moody's good friends writes in a biography about Moody, he says he loved to put himself in the background and put other men in the foreground. He really believed that God would use other men in a larger measure than he had been used. Mr. Moody loved to keep himself in the background. At his conventions, he would push other men to the front, and if he could, have them do all the preaching. The only way we could get him to take part in the program was to get up in the convention and move or vote that we hear D.L. Moody at the next meeting. And in one of the meetings, D.L. Moody kept putting the other preachers up to have them preach, and people kept requesting that D.L. Moody preach, but D.L. Moody kept having the other guy speak. And finally, D.L. Moody said, all right, we've got a lot of requests that I speak. If you really want to hear me speak, you're going to have to come. We're going to have a meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you can come and hear me speak then. And people came out, and those, what they call them, sunrise meetings, continued throughout his crusade then, because people wanted to hear D.L. Moody speaking. God was using him mightily. But he also refused to accept the praise of men. The story was told of some ladies that were big supporters of his ministry, and they came one night to hear him and wanted to speak to him afterwards. And a man came to Moody and said, "Hey, there's a bunch of women that are very big supporters. They're praying for you. They've given financially. They're prominent ladies in this town. They'd like to meet you at least." And Moody said, "Well, where are they?" And the guy pointed him out, and the guy said, "Oh, I'll tell them that in a minute you can speak with them." And so he went away, and D.L. Moody got his hat and put it on and went out the back door and got in his carriage and left. Never did shake the ladies' hands. And the ladies were very offended because of this, and some of them never returned to the Crusades again. But D.L. Moody would not accept the praise of other people for what he had done. Well, D.L. Moody himself talks about another man that he respected that after one of his meetings early in his ministry came to him and said, you did a fine job tonight. I forget the exact words. But D.L. Moody said that was a foolish thing for him to do because he used the phrase, "He almost turned my head," meaning he'd almost caught my attention to look at myself and look what I have done. And D.L. Moody, because of some of these instances where D.L. Moody didn't want to take the credit and people wanted to shake his hand and thank him, and because of these women that had come and wanted to talk to him, D.L. Moody responded to someone who questioned him about that. He says, "If I had shaken the hand with those women, I wouldn't have been half through before the devil would have made me believe that I was some great man, and from that time I would have to do as he bid me do." And D.L. Moody was determined that the devil was not going to get his foot in the door, was not going to destroy his ministry through pride, and he was determined to remain humble and give the credit to God who had given him, who was blessing his ministry. He was a humble man. D.L. Moody was also a man that had a consuming passion for lost souls. He had made a commitment very early on, even during his Sunday school years, soon after he first came to Christ, that he would not let a day pass. He would not let 24 hours, I'll read it here, go by without telling someone about the Lord. God used D.L. Moody because of his consuming passion for the salvation of the lost. D.L. Moody made a resolution shortly after he himself was saved that he would never let 24 hours pass over his head without speaking to at least one person about his soul. His was a very busy life, and sometimes he would forget his resolution until the last hour, and sometimes he would get out of bed, dress, go out, and talk to someone about his soul in order that he might not let one day pass without having definitely told at least one of his fellow mortals about his need and the Savior who could meet it. One night, Mr. Moody got home and had gone to bed before it occurred to him that he had not spoken to a soul that day about accepting Christ. "Well," he said to himself, "it's no good getting up now. There will be nobody on the street at this hour of the night." But he got up, dressed, and went to the front door. It was pouring rain. "Oh," he said, "there will be no one out there in this pouring rain." Just then he heard the patter of a man's feet coming as he came down the street, holding an umbrella over his head. Then Mr. Moody darted out and rushed up to the man and said, "May I share the shelter of your umbrella?" "Certainly," the man said. Then Mr. Moody said, "Have you any shelter in the time of storm?" And he was able to share Jesus with him. But he had a passion for leading lost souls to the Savior, and he had a commitment that he maintained faithfully. He was a man that understood the importance of prayer. As he was beginning his ministry, he slept in the YMCA, and he was actually quite involved in the YMCA. Something that I didn't realize as I had started studying his life, but he was very involved, very influential in the YMCA during his years in Chicago. And one of the things that started happening, and I don't believe he started it at this point, but one of the things that had started happening because of other revivals that were happening in the area was a noonday prayer meeting was started in one of the rooms in Chicago in the YMCA. And D.L. Moody would spend time out on the street before the prayer meeting, and he would spend time getting people to come in and pray and spend time in prayer. And he would hand out literature telling people about this prayer time, because I believe he realized the importance and necessity of prayer if God was going to continue working and transforming the lives of the people within the community, within Chicago and other areas of the world. And so he himself was very involved in making that prayer meeting happen. And as he went to Great Britain and began one of his campaigns there, one of the first things he did was to start a prayer meeting at the at the local YMCA there in the city where his campaign started. And it was soon had attendance of 200 or 300 people. But more of these prayer meetings sprung up around the country as a result of him starting this prayer meeting there in that city. And led to, I believe, contributed greatly to God being able to use him to speak to the nation in that time. Also, he knew the importance because of his schools that he had started that required a lot of finances. And there was a time where the schools were $20,000 behind in their finances. And D.L. Moody talked to one of his friends about how he was taking it to God in prayer and how he wanted God to provide in a special way so that he realized that God had answered the needs and God had specifically provided that money. And there was no coincidence, and God did do that for him. A couple quotes that D.L. Moody made in regard to prayer. He who kneels the most stands the best. And every movement of God, every great movement of God, or even every movement of God, can be traced to a kneeling figure. If we want God to work, we need to spend time on our knees. God works as a result of answer to prayer, to our faithfulness in praying. But D.L. Moody believed that, and I believe it played an important role in his life. But he was also a man who was a student of the Bible. I believe it was Torrey, one of his close friends, and a man that D.L. Moody asked to be the first superintendent of the Bible Institute in Chicago, wrote about D.L. Moody and his studying of the Word of God. It says, every day for his life, I have reason to believe he arose very early in the morning to study the Word of God, way down to the close of his life. Mr. Moody used to rise about 4 o'clock in the morning to study his Bible. He would say to me, if I'm going to get in any study, I've got to get up before the other folks get up. And he would shut himself in a remote room alone with his God and his Bible. And Torrey goes on to tell a story of how he was there in D.L. Moody's home the one night, and a bunch of the teachers from the Bible Institute had gathered to talk to Moody about the Institute and some of the struggles they were having and go over some things. And they talked late into the night. And finally, the other teachers went to bed, and Torrey and Moody stayed there to continue the discussion. And they talked for a while longer, and finally they went to bed. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, Moody comes and knocks on his guest's door, on Torrey's door, and he says, hey, are you awake? He whispers. And Torrey says he doesn't always get up at that early, but he did happen to be up that particular morning. And he says, and Moody said, I want you to go somewhere with me. And so he went down, and here he found that Moody had been up for an hour or two already studying God's Word, even in spite of their late night. That's how important the study of God's Word was to D.L. Moody. And another biographer wrote that he believes that Moody's success was because that Moody knew the Bible so well. He knew the Bible very well, and he had studied it. A couple quotes of D.L. Moody. He said, so few grow because so few study. So few people spend time studying the Scriptures. I never saw a fruit-bearing Christian that was not a student of the Bible. That's the level that D.L. Moody put Bible study on, the importance that he placed on Bible study. D.L. Moody was also a man that had experienced the anointing of God's Spirit. And what impressed me as I as I studied different men, and this whole message came out of a workshop that Trulin and I did at our BMA convention last weekend, and we shared on profiles of Spirit-filled men. We each had three men, and as I looked at the lives of great men, how often in their life that these men had a time in their life where there was a special point where God met them, and they had a special close encounter with God where they felt that God anointed them with His Spirit in a special way for the work that they were going to do. And D.L. Moody, this happened to D.L. Moody, but I believe this came out of a close walk with God that was very close and personal, and out of a desire from Moody to experience all that God had for him. He wanted to, if there was more that he could experience of God's power and God working through them, he wanted that almost no matter what it would take. And at one point in his ministry, there was a couple ladies that D.L. Moody could tell that were praying for him. And he went and talked to them, and they said, "We're praying for you." And he's like, "Well, why are you praying for me? Why aren't you praying for the people that are on the pews?" And they said, "You need a special anointing from God for your work that you're doing." And it kind of annoyed D.L. Moody at first, but finally he started praying for this for himself, and he prayed. And God met him in a special way one day in New York City. D.L. Moody himself gives this testimony. He says, "My heart was not in the work of begging. I could not appeal. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with His Spirit. Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed Himself to me, and I had such an experience of His love that I had to ask Him to stay His hand. I went on preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truth, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as small dust of the balance." And Moody experienced a special anointing from God for the work that he had. And you know, I believe this came out of Moody's desire for God to fill him with His Spirit, for God to use him, and for God to work through him. And he was willing, as we talked about, he's willing to give up everything in order for that to happen and for God to accomplish His work through him. And then as I look today at our lives today, and I think about where we're at for us personally, are we willing to lay it all down? Are we willing to surrender everything? And I'm not saying that He's going to call us to give up our jobs, to give up. He may. That may be part of His call in our life, to lay aside and to go and get involved in mission work or faith work somewhere. But maybe He's calling us just to be faithful within our community and to take some of our time and take it, and rather than spending it on ourselves, maybe even taking some time off of work and be willing to trust Him to make ends meet and to reach out in our community and build relationships and begin like D.L. Moody did in inviting children in from our community. Or maybe it's going and working with other needs in our community. There was a man killed recently in our community in a motorcycle accident, leaving behind a wife and a small son, and I'm not sure exactly how the whole family situation is, but there's needs there. There's opportunities. There's also another man who had another motorcycle accident and is still in recovery and needs someone to mow his lawn and to help out. Are we willing to lay aside our own ambitions in order to do God's work? May God find us as men willing to sacrifice, men of His word, men of humility, men of faith, men of courage, that He can use for His honor and glory in our generation. I want to read one last quote yet from D.L. Moody. Says this: "I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of selfishness and ambition and self-seeking and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will come in and fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and self-seeking, pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. I also believe that many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is already full with something else. Before we pray that God would fill us, I believe we ought to pray that he would empty us. There must be an emptying before there can be a filling. And when the heart is turned upside down and everything that is contrary to God is turned out, then the Spirit will come. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, I thank you for men like Moody who leave us an example, who leave us a challenge of what you can do through an ordinary man who is totally surrendered to you, who has laid aside everything else and placed his life on the altar and has allowed your Spirit to come in and fill every part. Lord, I do pray that you would take us and you would turn us upside down and you would shake out all the things that fill our lives and that we would be emptied of ourselves, of this world, of all that prevents you from filling us, and that you would come in and fill every corner of our lives. Lord, I ask that you would enable us to do that. Open our eyes to what you want to accomplish and what you can accomplish through it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.